Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Download the Odyssey app, favorite 95.7 The Game. All the breaking news, the updates, as well as links to top interviews and best moments on The Game, powered by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified. We're so happy to say hello to Alex Mack, who is presented by Harris Ranch Beef, legendary quality. Alex Mack, a six-time Pro Bowler, a member of the 2010 All-Decade team, signed this year to bring an awful lot of stability to the center of the San Francisco 49ers offensive line. And we're very happy to have our first conversation with someone whose reputation is just absolutely stellar. Alex, my name's Damon. You're going to hear from Ray. Matt's going to say hello in just a little bit. Thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm doing really well.
Everyone at the Greenbrier, nice turndown service, mints on the pillow, ready to go?
It's a very classy establishment. A little bit of the Shining vibes with the decor, but it actually is a really classy place.
Very nice. It's wonderful to have you on, man. It's really good to see you back, you know, in the Bay. Obviously, your college career, it was at Cal, and to be a 49er, was this something you ever thought about when you were in college? Did you get to, oh, I'm guessing, what, Candlestick back in the day when you were at Cal?
I got to play there, at Cal I didn't get to play at Candlestick, but I got to play at Candlestick a couple times over my career, and it's a cool place. I mean, it's gone now, but the fans are cool. I know the 49ers have a real strong fan base, so it's been exciting to join the team and really see them in action in the preseason.
Let's start with the congratulations on the season opening win in Detroit. I'm guessing you and Jimmy pregame planned the fumble on the first snap of the year just to keep the Lions off guard. I'm guessing that was part of the game plan.
Not how you'd want to start the season. That's not a good tone setter for the offense, but I think we made up for it later in the game.
Certainly.
Definitely don't want to turn over the ball ever. So for it to be the first thing we do is not stellar. So we're working to make sure that never happens again.
What was your biggest takeaway from the debut in Detroit? What do you think the team, you know, what message did the team send back to you about what this season might be?
You know, the takeaways we had were, you know, if we're rolling, if we're on our details, we can do some pretty amazing stuff. Like we scored a lot of points. When we were on our details, things were going really well. And you just have to stay on your details. This league's too good to ever relax. I think we made it far too interesting in that game towards the end, and we just need to keep the gas pedal on. Never relax. Make sure you're on your details, and anybody in this league can come back. So it's just one of those things. It was a good wake-up call without having a really good burn for it.
You've been doing this for a long enough time that I'm going to guess when that snap happened, and I don't want to dwell on that because it's not really important, but when a snap gets fumbled, does the center know right away who's to blame? And I'm not asking you to identify blame in this one. I'm just saying, as a general rule, can you tell, even though you're not seeing it, what happened?
Generally, it's hard to tell. You know, you're focused on so much stuff, and it's one of those kind of natural things. If I screw up a snap, like flat out screw it up, yeah, I know I do that. But when it's just something kind of went iffy, it's kind of hard to pinpoint what went wrong. It's just one of those things where I think a lot of adrenaline going quick, trying to explode off the ball, and Jimmy trying to, you know, get the ball to the running back. I think we were just a little bit off, and that's all it takes. It's one of those little details that you really have to be tuned into everything, and you know, don't do it again. You never expect it to happen. You know, so I felt something hit my feet on that play. I was like, "Oh, well, what that is?" And it was the ball, which is not good. Not where the ball should be.
You've obviously played with a handful of different quarterbacks over the course of your career, and I guess, not to keep referring to that play, but one thing that I immediately thought about was, how different is what you need to do as a center with the snap when it comes to different like quarterback to quarterback? Do guys want the ball somehow differently, or is it pretty much you're doing the same action no matter who is behind you?
I'd say I'm doing the same action no matter who's behind. It's a matter of figuring out and making them aware of where I place the ball and kind of figure that out. That usually takes, you know, four snaps for anybody. So it's not that big of a deal. Like, most snaps, most centers are pretty similar.
49er center Alex Mack here on 95.7 The Game. So you played for Kyle Shanahan, the offensive coordinator, and now you're playing for Kyle Shanahan, the head coach. Much of a difference? Noticeable difference? No difference at all? What is it?
No difference at all, I'd say. I think Kyle is the same guy he's always been. He's now just, instead of it being an offensive meeting, it's a team meeting. He's the same guy. He speaks it pretty real. He's very, you know, down to earth. I really enjoy him. I'm stoked to be here. I'm excited to be in this offense. I think he's a great head coach, and I'm fired up.
So how much does an offensive coordinator, as opposed to a head coach, deal with what's going on in the blocking scheme, which seems so part and parcel to the offense, the running offense especially, that Kyle Shanahan runs? Is he hands-on with the offensive linemen as much as he's hands-on with, you know, QBs, running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers?
I think something that makes him a great, you know, head coach, and, you know, when he was offensive coordinator, it was just how solid of understanding he had of the schemes. So he really understood everyone's responsibility and was capable of coaching every position. And so when you have that, you can really hold all the players accountable, the coaches accountable. Everything should mesh very well together. And I think that's the same thing that's going on now.
As the center, you're required to pretty much know what the full blocking scheme is for everybody. So at this early stage, on a scale of 1 to 100, how much do you know about everything you feel you should know about everybody else on your line?
1 to 100. Wow.
That way we could do percentages. It's range. Easier that way.
We could really get in there. I think you can always learn more, so I'll never say 100, although you'd want everybody to know everything backwards and forwards. But I think the offense is evolving, and you do add plays for schemes to try to take advantage of the defense. So I'll give myself a 90, you know, and sometimes there's an amount of trust, you know, what your job is, and you know other people have responsibility from what's your job, but you're not trying to micromanage everybody.
See, we had you coming in at 86.4%, so I'm glad you're rounding up to 90.
Close.
Very close.
Rounded up.
We'll allow it in this first interview. I'm not to bring up things that haven't even happened yet, but part of coming to the Niners is playing the Rams twice a year, and we just watched Aaron Donald on a Sunday night. As the center, obviously that's a guy you're going to be staring at an awful lot. And I'm just wondering, is that something you've thought about, and have you played him in the past, and sort of what is that like?
It's not fun. He's a very good player, and he's one of the best in the business ever to do it. Without a doubt. It was when choosing to, you know, come to the 49ers, having to play, you know, that player and those teams, it's not attractive. You know, you want cupcakes everywhere, but that's not the case. I know the, you know, our division is very competitive and it's going to be very tough. But I think if we can, you know, weather that storm and get through our division, will be a very good team that can do whatever we want in the postseason.
Alex Mack here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky, and obviously Javon Kinlaw is a missing piece so far in game one. He wasn't there. Hopefully he can return soon. As a guy who has spent the entire preseason and training camp, basically practicing against him. Can you tell us a little bit about what your impressions of Kinlaw are coming into his second year, and if you think he's got the potential to be mentioned, you know, along with some of the best D tackles in football?
I mean, he's got a lot of potential. He's a big, explosive player, and he's definitely has a raw talent right now. I mean, he is in there just smashing into things, and in a good way. He's explosive and can definitely be disruptive. I think this is the proper defense where he can really thrive. I think it'll come down to if he can stay healthy and get out there, and hopefully he can really get a lot of game experience and become a great player.
And, you know, I know that you're not directly taking on Nick Bosa very often, but we keep on hearing that he has just got, you know, stripes on him that most cats do not have. Do you see that out of the corner of your eye? Are you already looking at Bosa as someone who is just a game-changing defensive player?
It looks to be that way. I mean, I'm happy that he plays on the edge. I don't have to touch him too often. He's a physical specimen, and he definitely plays hard. So he's talented. He's gonna be somebody other opposing offenses have to, you know, take note of.
Different players can present different challenges, but when was the last time you were truly surprised by a defensive line scheme? Well, where you went, wait a minute, what are they trying to do here? Because I've never seen this before.
It's been a while. I've seen a lot of football now.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, hopefully you early in the year, let me say, yeah, early in the year is usually when that happens because people change and adjust and you haven't planned for stuff that they haven't shown on tape much, and then they show up and you've got a problem solve on the fly, which is not fun. But later in the year, it's copycat league. Everyone's watching everybody's film, and you generally see things kind of occurring, and you talk about it. And in the week of prep, you hopefully cover stuff. I think preseasons are another great time. You see people doing some unsound defensive stuff, which gets you in trouble because, you know, if they're blitzing off of one side, they kind of have to cover the other area, and you can depend on that when the guys are doing the right thing. But if the guy's doing the wrong thing, you get surprised.
In following a lot of sort of online media discourse about football defense recently, I've read a lot about defenses that do more actively to try to dictate offenses in the last couple seasons in particular. Brandon Staley's a guy that gets brought up a lot. But the question I'm asking essentially is, you've been in the league for a decade.
Yeah.
How much has the of defense changed over the course of that time?
I remember, like, when I was a younger player, the league just installed where they have, like, the two linebackers kind of mug the A gaps, and there were blitzes and stuff, and that was a kind of a new defensive thing. And now every team does it. Like, every team kind of has that package, and they mug it, and people have kind of figured out what works, what doesn't work, and kind of how to defend it. And it still works, so you still see it. But it's one of those things that has become less common as time goes on. That was like a major package and you'd have to really prep for. Now it's just, oh, this team does it too, yeah.
How odd is it to not even know when another quarterback is going to come into a game and be under center? Obviously, the Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance experience is, I'm guessing, a little unlike any other that you've played with professionally.
It's evolving. I mean, we've had wildcat packages, but I think this is going to become something more than that. So I think it's great that we can really keep defenses on their toes and not know. I know when there's a different voice that shows up calling the play, that, you know, that's a good tip off that, you know, something's changed.
To cry in shame that Raheem Mostert doesn't even last three carries into the year. He's a good guy. He's a hell of a running back. But now it looks like that workload is going to fall on young Mr. Elijah Mitchell until we see Trey Sermon get up to speed and whatever this team might find on the waiver wire as it looks around for running back solutions. How different do you have to block for players who aren't the speed of light, like Mostert is? And I'll tell you this, it looks like Elijah Mitchell is about as fast as Raheem might be.
Yeah, Mitch did an incredible job stepping up and delivering and, you know, coming to the big stage and really, you know, taking on the challenge and thriving. So great job as a rookie. I know we have a lot of running back talent back there, and they all get rotated through, and our coaching staff really keeps them accountable and, you know, coaches them very well. So pretty dependable on anybody who's back there can thrive in the system. In terms of like what we do in blocking, but and then just to say, like, Raheem is such an awesome dude. It's been great to join this team and get to know him, and, you know, heart goes out to him. Hope he gets healthy and gets back here quick.
You talked earlier about there being almost no difference between the Kyle Shanahan in Atlanta and the Kyle Shanahan here. Are there any schematic differences? Are there things that he likes to do now, as basically just tactically, that are different than what he did in Atlanta? Or is he exactly the same guy?
I think the offense has evolved. I think him as a person is exactly the same guy. Like, he's the same coach. I think the offense is constantly evolving, and it's constantly adding new wrinkles. And I think that's good. That's what you want to see. You want to see, what can you learn? What can you get better? What can evolve? And I think this offense is doing it.
Alex, is there a Kyle Shanahan doghouse, and have you ever been in it?
I mean, fumbling the first snap of the regular season is a good way to approach that doghouse, I think. I don't think I've been in it, but, you know, I definitely think that he holds people accountable. And I think that's something that where he's a kind of coach for me that you just always want to put your best on the field for him.
I'm guessing you actually probably played against D'Amico Ryans at some point in your career. What have you seen from him as a first-time defensive coordinator, and did you see that for him when you saw him as a player?
I can't remember if and when I played him, but I'm sure it happened. I played a lot of games. I have the talent of kind of playing the game and, you know, trying to forget about it immediately because it's on to the next. But as a coach, he's done a really good job of getting guys motivated, holding them accountable. You can see the defense working hard all the time, and they made, you know, OTAs and training camp very difficult on us. So hopefully they continue to do that.
For a guy who has been around the league 100 times, who's got the best visiting locker room?
Best visiting locker room. I'm trying to remember that. Hard to remember. I'm kind of focused on the game. I don't really remember. Somebody who has a hot tub. Some people have nothing in there. It's nice to be able to warm up in a hot tub. I think the old Raider Stadium and the old Charger Stadium took the cake for the worst.
That feels about right. That feels about on brand. There's no doubt about it. I'm guessing the amenities, like you've already said, at the Greenbrier, very, very nice. What is it like to be in the middle of a season and have almost a mini second training camp? Is that what this sort of feels like?
It's a little interesting. I think it's cool in terms of the season just started. It's all business, and we can all be here with no distractions, really. And it's a cool opportunity to have some team bonding earlier in the year, kind of all go through this and be together. And I like it. I mean, I also like my home and my bed, but it for the team, it's totally worth it.
As a Pac-12 guy, how bad do you want the next coach at USC to be?
How bad? Terrible. They could just disband the program. That's fine with me.
But that seems more strident than I thought you'd be, but you'd be willing to go Pac-11 then.
Pac-11? I mean, I went to the Pac-10, so we'd be getting closer to what I'm comfortable with.
Who do you hate more, USC or Stanford?
I, as a Cal guy, you have to say Stanford.
But as Alex Mack, what do you think?
I mean, I never got to beat USC at my time at Cal, and that's something that goads me a bit to this day. Stanford, they're pretty good against. So I can say there's a pretty big hate for USC.
So if I'm Justin Wilcox, I am calling you and asking one of the greatest offensive linemen in my college's history to come on back and talk to the kids. You going to spend any time in Berkeley doing a little coaching?
I need to come up there and talk to the guys and visit the team. Currently, I'm in West Virginia, so it's hard.
Yeah, not right now.
When there's time, I definitely want to be able to go back there and talk to the team and see them. It's been a couple of years, and that's on me. I need to make a better effort at that.
Well, I tell you, we would probably be yelled at if we didn't ask you about Trent Williams, because this guy just is a human shadow that just casts over people. He's just as large as it gets. Do you really only have to worry about four other spots on the line, because there's just nothing to worry about with Trent? He's got the job.
Trent's a very talented guy. For as you know, talented as he is, he still works really hard, and it shows. I mean, he's in meetings really trying to perfect his craft, and that's something that it's good to see, you know, the older vets do. And he's a monster on the field, which is also great to see.
We have seen some of the amenities of the Greenbrier and the different things. I don't know if you're a golfer at all, if you're going to go on a horseback ride. I'd feel sorry for the horse that had an offensive lineman choose him for an afternoon. I see that they got falconry lessons. Will you be falconing at any point in time? And do you feel, as a former Atlanta Falcon, they shouldn't even charge the room?
It'd be fun to do that. I've never learned how to do that, or if that's something you can do, or do you bring your own falcon? I don't know.
So BYOF?
For that option. Yeah, bring your own falcon. Haven't explored that option. I did see they had a sporting clay course for like skeet shooting. And so on our off day, we went over there and did that, which was really fun.
Why do you think offensive linemen are consistently the best interviews in the NFL?
Because no one – finally someone's talking to us, and we just can't wait to throw knowledge at you guys. Rarely talked to and just usually ignored.
I mean, were you so excited, like, before you called in, you're doing, like, a couple laps in the pool at the Greenbrier, just excited to talk to the media, finally?
Finally, yeah. Well, you also you dangled the Harris Ranch steak, and I jumped at that opportunity.
Well, let me tell you how this works, big fella. Our friends at Harris Ranch Beef are going. Well, I guess it's not a surprise. You knew about
not
it.
Not a surprise.
They're going to give you a dozen USDA Prime New York strips, a total of 10.5 pounds of meat. Has anyone in radio or media history ever given you 10.5 pounds of meat before today?
Never. And I couldn't. If you need to do it again, I can come back and you can give me 10.5 pounds again. I'll eat it.
We'll do it. Alex, thank you so very much. Continued success to you and your teammates. Have a good week of prep. Getting ready for the Eagles, man. Really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Our pleasure. Alex Mack here on 95.7 The Game. And he'll be back. We have more meat for him. He had plenty of meat for us. There really is something to it. Offensive lineman, incredible interview. Texter 925 said it still holds true. Offensive lineman, most thoughtful interviews. And I don't know if it's because you don't hear from him much, so it's always a surprise. Look, there's a lot of studying that goes into blocking schemes. I don't want to say that there are positions that allow you to be a little less locked in than other positions, but offensive line, man, that's a hard position. There's an awful lot of language that they need to speak to figure out what's going on.
Well, they have to know what everybody's doing on the field at any given time, so they have a better perspective. The thing that I find interesting, though, is that so many offensive linemen are as articulate as they are, because you would think, given the position that they play, that it's largely, you know, rooting around a mud hole for 3 hours on Sunday. And in fact, they're probably, and again, I don't have a better phrase for it, they're the most articulate people on any football team, you know, with the odd exception here or there. But if you had to go position by position, that's where you'd start.
Well, Ray, you know, the pig is a very intelligent animal, so maybe you're onto something with the rooting around in the mud there.
On the other hand, the octopus is far smarter, which means that wide receivers and cornerbacks ought to be all right.
Have we talked about my octopus teacher?
I have. I don't know if we've talked about it here, but I've spent a lot of my life talking about that movie because, oh my goodness.
Ray, you know, I know you're always looking for things that are unlike things you have seen before. Have you seen the Netflix documentary, My Octopus Teacher?
Yes, and I thought it was properly weird and profoundly instructive.
Have you been teaching octopi since?
No, I haven't had calamari since, if that helps.
There you go. It got to you. The octopus got to your heart.
No, really sort of to my digestive system.
Fair enough, then. Look, it was a great interview with Alex. We thank him very much. We will absolutely have him back before the end of the year. That was too good to not have him back before it's all said and done. Look, before it's all said and done today, we're going to focus our attention one more time on what the Giants are doing, what they've got in front of them. But we would be, I think, not doing the best of our jobs if we didn't highlight just for a minute one of the biggest stories in national news today in sports. And that is that USA Gymnastics is the single biggest enemy a USA gymnast could ever have. And it's deplorable what happened to those women who were up on Capitol Hill today. And as the Larry Nassar investigation is being looked at, and the FBI agent who was in charge of conducting interviews withheld information that had come forward with it earlier probably stops dozens of girls from being abused because the FBI agent wanted a position with Team USA or gymnastics or something. I mean, it is the most, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you're an FBI agent and you're looking to get into gymnastics. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe what happened. It's hard to believe the environment that allowed, like, high-profile gymnast after high-profile gymnast to be raped, essentially, by this guy. Absolutely sexually molested. And it's a staggering kind of, we've known about it, we've talked about it. Today it came back on the radar, and it is atrocious. It is absolutely atrocious that USA Gymnastics is the single most destructive entity in the world to gymnasts from the United States. You can't find anyone who has done those women more wrong than the people who are supposed to protect them.
Well, and I'm going to be more cynical than usual here. They didn't view their job as one of protection. They were going to use them until they were done being used in every possible way. And that's why, of all the athletes, at least of the last 5 years, there is none braver and stronger than Simone Biles. No football player, no hockey player, no anybody. I mean, to put up with that and have to and speak out against it for now, I think, going on 4 or 5 years. I mean, that's it. I mean, she ought to win, you know, this is small consolation, but every award there is, just for having the level of fortitude and strength to fight all of that off and have to fight it all off for years and years. U.S. Gymnastics has shown that it hates its children. There's no polite way to put it. That's what we've learned from all of this. They hated the people that made them rich.
Yeah, I mean, look, by no means am I going to defend U.S. Gymnastics or argue with anything that you guys have said. I also think this goes far beyond U.S. gymnastics or even sport, because the testimony that was heard today was really about how not U.S. gymnastics officials, but not one FBI agent who wanted a gig, but multiple FBI agents were told by young women that they were being sexually abused, credibly heard this, and did nothing. And I think more than anything, it's a reminder of how far the legal system has to go in this country as it regards the treatment of women. Look, full stop. I mean, I could pick any number of different examples of the way the American legal system or government fails women in this country. But, you know, as proud as so many people are of this country's supposed ideals, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing how women are treated. And this is a particularly upsetting example of it.
And what was also just hard to watch is everyone who is now asking these women questions. It was basically a politician after politician trying to out congratulations on your bravery each other. These women don't want any congratulations on their bravery. They want some consequences, and they want what happened to them to not happen to anybody else. And that was not the promise of today by anybody. I mean, that's what was so offensive about the whole thing. You don't need some glad-handing politician looking to score verbal points by landing the perfect soundbite about your bravery speaking to the moment. These women deserve consequences, and those consequences should be imprisonment for almost all leaders of USA Gymnastics and certainly the FBI agents who looked the other way, knowing that they had real information that they did not act upon. And so there's no easy way to transition from that. But I had to put that on the show today. We had to bring that on the show today. It was a massive story as I was waking up this morning. And, you know, you looked at it and you're reminded about everything. And you're right, Ray. You know, anyone who wants to criticize Simone Biles, you know, the Clay Travises who came and called her an unpatriotic wuss, it's ridiculous.
There should be a conga line of people going to prison for this.
There should be.
And absolutely, not for a year here or a year there. When you're willing to destroy children to advance your career, no matter how you view your career, that, I mean, I don't know, is life enough? I mean, just, you know, how many defenseless victims do you have to chalk up before there is a way to make it even? And I'm not even sure that life in prison does that, but I'd like to see somebody get it other than Larry Nassar, because he didn't act alone. He had plenty of backup, which is more than can be said for any of these women. And, you know, it went on for years and years. Joan Ryan wrote a book about it. I want to say it's 15 years old now. And in fact, it just got reprinted again because of the new allegations. You know, this is a long-standing story, and I haven't seen enough move for genuine reform to make it so that that book won't get reprinted again in another decade.
It's something else. There is no conceivable way to transition from this to something else. So we'll apologize for how clumsy this sounds, but we do pivot back to baseball. And we have a What If Wednesday coming up. I know that it's been lovingly prepared by Lucas and Grandy Maldonado. Grandy, what I would like you to do right now is push the button that says most amazing thing. Because in an amazing season for the San Francisco Giants, we got yet another most amazing thing.
Oh my God, it's going to be amazing.
I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
God, this is gonna be...
Don't say it, I swear to God. Now, it's time for the most amazing thing.
It's amazing.
I gotta credit our friend and Giants insider, Alex Pavlovich, for tweeting this one out last night. Maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't. That's why we're putting it right here, because it has been a cavalcade of offensive success for the Giants. The power that has been on display by this team has been really remarkable. And it's not just the guys who you thought might be able to do it, but a few other guys you didn't think maybe could. And that brings us to what Pavlovich said last night, because Darren Ruff had a big, big double. 109-mile-an-hour double off the bat of Darren Ruff last night. And what you might not know, and what I found pretty amazing, is that right now, Darren Ruff is in the Major League top 10 in exit velocity. He is in between Shohei Ohtani and Joey Votto. It's extraordinary. A guy who is asked to platoon, asked to be a part-time player, is one of the hardest hitters of the baseball in all of major leagues. He is in the top 10 in exit velocity, which is among the holy grail of the new at-bat stats that GMs worship in front of.
Two things. I don't remember him ever being nearly that high in the past. And two, it's amazing how much better you get when you have technical support and you get at bats, because he was one of those guys who's been like the technical definition of journeyman, which is your job is to hang on the fringes of the sport. And this is probably, I haven't looked this up, but this is the most useful he's ever been viewed and the most useful he's ever been. And it's a good reminder that even in a sport scouted as thoroughly as professional sports is, guys fall through cracks. And every once in a while, they get lucky and get seen for what they can do rather than what they can't. And I'm not trying to, say that, Darren Ruff's got awards coming, but the fact that all of a sudden he's developed bat speed that nobody ever knew he had is remarkable in and of itself, because there are a lot of people who have seen Darren Ruff play over the years and nobody ever saw this. And now there it is for everybody to see.
Well, but not bat speed, right? That's relevant because it's exit velocity, which means he's hitting the ball harder, which I think sort of reflects the platoon and reflects being put in the best situations to succeed, which is kind of what this Giants regime is all about, right? Take the guys that other people have perhaps devalued because they didn't put them in the right positions and put them in the positions where they do thrive. And it's worked to great effect for the Giants over the last couple of years, but obviously especially this year.
You know, when a guy plays every single day, I guess it's easy to find the things that you don't like, and that made him the journeyman. You know, he would come into a lineup full time, and then the first thing a GM would do would start looking for a guy better than him to put him in a spot to succeed, which really is the theme of the entire year for this Giants team. Yeah, you nailed it, Kolsky. It's that they have found his sweet spot. And obviously, his sweet spot keeps on finding the ball because, again, top 10 in baseball, ninth in exit velocity between Shohei Ohtani, who will go to the Hall of Fame, and Joey Votto, who might be a Hall of Famer. You know, I mean, that's just, it's massive. So, when we come on back a little, what if Wednesday, what if I told you the Giants could probably win 107 games this year? Would you believe me? It's true. That and much, much more on the other side of this. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m., you can check out the Football Hour with Sean Salisbury and Lorenzo Neal, a jam-packed hour from two former NFL players, presented by Livermore Casino, located on First Street in Livermore, offering Vegas-style blackjack, three-card poker, baccarat, Texas Hold'em, Tri-Valley's place to play in downtown Livermore. Please play responsibly. And tonight, the Giants are playing, obviously, the Padres once again. Eight games left with the reeling Padres this season. The Giants are sitting at 95 wins. They're looking to win their 10th straight game tonight. It's going to be Joe Musgrove against the bullpen game, started by Dominic Leone. And Padre, I mean, we had Darren Smith on earlier today to talk about it. They're just reeling. They're 9-21 in their last 30 games. So this is just a fascinating, fascinating baseball season. What if I told you that the Giants could win 107 games this year? They got to go 12 and record. Yeah, 12-5 in their last 17 games. That completely sounds doable when you start sizing up the competition. You got the Road Rockies coming. You got the Diamondbacks, who are the worst team in baseball, only 19 road wins. The Giants have two fewer games remaining on their year than the Diamondbacks have won on the road all year. They've only won 19 times on the road. The Braves are the only remaining headache on the schedule. So, fascinating times. What if I told you we were so close to the end of the show, Ray was already standing up and he's grabbed his purse. He's ready to run to the car. That's true. So, let's just do this. What? Yeah.
What if I told you hindsight is always 20/20?
The Minnesota Timberwolves select Stephen Curry.
That everything happens for a reason.
With the first selection in the 2005 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Aaron Rodgers, quarterback to California.
What if I told you it's time for What If Wednesday on Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky?
I'd be excited about it. Lucas, what do you got for us?
Well, gentlemen, I don't know if you heard what John Gruden said after their awesome Monday Night Football win. If you didn't, let me remind you. He said after the game in which Darren Waller had 19 targets, he said that Darren Waller is the best football player he's ever coached. In case you don't have the list of Hall of Famers John Gruden has coached right in front of you at your fingertips, let me give it to you. Jerry Rice, Tim Brown, Brett Favre, Warren Sapp, Rondé Barber, Derek Brooks, John Lynch, Charles Woodson, not to mention Rich Gannon, who won an MVP. Here's my question. What if football coaches weren't allowed to lie?
They'd be mutes.
Yeah, we wouldn't hear from them very often.
No, at all. I mean, they'd have to walk around with semaphore flags.
Look, I don't have a problem with the guy saying, I love this. I love this player. But yeah, when you have coached that many players, if Darren Waller is your the best player ever, you are insulting so many of those guys. But here's the thing. None of those guys realize that John Gruden's words to the media are worth their weight in ink. So that no one's worried about it.
No, it definitely doesn't matter, but it's also a slight to Waller because nobody takes John Gruden's assessments of players seriously anymore.
But Waller's a stud. I mean, here's the deal.
No, Waller's very good. But when you say that, you know, as John Gruden said, that Darren Waller's the best player he's ever coached, you know, everybody knows Derek Brooks is a better player. You know, and John Gruden has erred on the side of hyperbole so many times that the compliment no longer has any meaning. That, you know, what you want to say about Darren Waller, anybody can say. In fact, John Gruden is probably less reliable about it than anybody because he'll say anything to anybody about anything.
Yeah, I don't know that hurts Darren Waller all that much, but it's certainly true that the compliments, really any compliments that Gruden is giving at this point, are rendered near meaningless by the absurdity of all of the many, many crazy things he's said.
And followed by the fact, not to interrupt, but followed by the fact that most guys that he's complimented over his career, he manages to get rid of shortly thereafter.
That's also true.
What if he's in track to be one of the highest paid tight ends? You're going to have to pay, you know, you can't have guys making $20 million on both sides of the ball. Khalil Mack had to go. Yeah, so Darren Waller, borrowed time. Good luck, buddy. Hope you're just renting, not buying in Vegas. What if I told you this is one of the best shows we've ever done? No one would believe me. No, it's been a great show. You got time for one more question?
I got a quick one.
Well, do it fast.
I don't know if you saw this headline. A new company is embarking on a $15 million mission to bring back the woolly mammoth and implement them up in Siberia. What if this was the start of a trend? Haven't we seen this movie before?
Too many times.
If you're going to have an actual woolly mammoth, putting it in Siberia is a lousy place to sell tickets to come see the woolly mammoth. If you're going to have a woolly mammoth, you got to put that thing on Treasure Island so you can get to it from both sides of the bay easily. It's a bad idea, and it's a wrong place to have a bad idea. Location, location, location. These are the three most important words in woolly mammoth regeneration.
It's an idiot trap. If you invest in this, you deserve not to have money ever again. I like this because anybody who puts money in this, basically somebody who should be impoverished by law.
I say he's an idiot.
Only $15 million to regenerate an extinct species? And we're going woolly mammoth?
They're like editing elephant DNA. I think that's why they feel like they can do it so cheaply, is that they only have so far back in reverse to go to get from elephant to woolly mammoth.
If you're Snuffleupagus, are you worried? You might get replaced on Sesame Street. That's it. That's all the time we have. Guess who's coming up next on The Final Word? Our good friends, JD and Covey. They're right around the corner, so don't you go anywhere. We want to thank Alex Max for joining us today. Alec Mack was fantastic. Chris Mortensen, Darren Smith. Really good stuff all around for the boys in the studio, for the boys with the microphone. Thank you so much for listening today. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.